Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 makes a reference that I want to focus on, along with some other scriptures. And the part I want to focus on is the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. Amen? Now turn from there and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at the 12th verse with me. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, let's just pause there a moment. The Word of God is powerful. 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 The sword of the Spirit is powerful. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is powerful. The Word of God is powerful and living. How many of you know that anything that's powerful and living can do anything that it says it can? The Word of God is powerful and living. The Word of God is living and powerful. Word of God is living and powerful. Powerful is the Word of God. Did you know that the Word of God is powerful and living? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that the Word of God is powerful and living? Do you know that? How many of you know that? The Word of God is powerful. Can I tell you something this morning? The Word of God is powerful. Can the Word of God, which is so powerful, heal you immediately? Because the Word of God is powerful. It's Sometimes that slips by us. Sometimes that gets away from us. Sometimes we drift from it. And we live like the Word of God is living and powerful, plus what I do. The Word of God is living and powerful, plus how good I am. The Word of God is living and powerful, plus I fasted and prayed for 40 days. The Word of God is powerful and living, plus, 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 all kinds of pluses. How about this? The Word of God is living and powerful! Exclamation point. Amen? See, there's a lot of believers who say to me, I know the Word of God is living and powerful. And they have an entire book of pluses. Or they're burdened in their heart and their mind by a whole stack of things back here they haven't done. Don't be looking at me like that. I'm not the only one that's had to deal with it. I want you to take the should be's, gotta be, you oughta be's, and all of that, and put them in that box. Well, I need to pray more. I need to be in the Word of God. I need to be. I need to. Why? Why? The Word of God is living and powerful. Get rid of all of that. Today. Put it in that box, lock it up with the 12 locks, and don't ever open it again. Well then what do we, Lord? What would you have me to do? I want to tell you, it's simpler. Holy Spirit, take hold with me. I take hold with you. I'm not asking you to follow me. I want to follow you. Take me where you want us to go. Well, you understand, I got a witness of 12 people today. Really? Did he tell you that? Listen to me. Do not compromise the gospel. Do not allow compromise to come into your life, compromising the gospel. No more. I am saved by grace through faith and not plus a half a dozen other things. Jesus chose to come and get me, and I didn't do anything to deserve it, to earn it. Matter of fact, I wasn't even looking. Amen. Hello. The multitudes are all around us, and the multitudes compromise the gospel. That's why they're multitudes. They're going to heaven? I don't know. God knows. That's not my job to judge that. Amen. I read the Word of God like you all do. And in there it talks about wheat and tares. That's something you can study on your own. Holy Spirit will give you revelation into that. Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. And I believe that you got the point. Amen. The point is, the Word of God's living and powerful. But look at verse chapter 19. And Revelation chapter 19, if you look at the 11th verse, and I'm just going to give you a quick overview. This is an account of the second coming. It starts in Revelation 19, verse 11. Okay? All the rest of the book of Revelations up to that point is message to the churches. It is talking about the Great Tribulation. It's talking about the different raptures. And I'll just throw this out. In the middle of the book of Revelation, and the reason people have difficulty is that the book of Revelation, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel, it gives us an overview. And then, in the middle chapters, it's like taking a magnifying glass, going back and looking at it in more detail, what he talked about three chapters before. It seems like it gets a little repetitive, only for the fact is that there's details that the Holy Spirit wanted us to have in these certain points of time, all right, so that we could see more closely what he was talking about, opening the seals, the judgment, okay? Now, down the road a little, we're going to do verse-by-verse study of this book so that everybody has a foundation, because there's going to be more being taught coming, and we need to have a foundation in and of ourselves, check to see what we're being told to sell. Amen? But for now, suffice it to say, in verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And, you know, I have people sometimes over the years say, what do you think that name was? I said, why do you even think about it? Only he himself knows. If he wanted us to know the name that was written, he'd have put it in there. See? It's a waste of time. It's like trying to figure out the day Jesus returns. Jesus said, nobody's going to know the exact time. So why waste our time and our money People have spent money on stuff like that. Hallelujah. But we don't. Amen. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called what? The Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. We're clothed in what? Fine linen, white and clean. Somebody asked me the other day, do we ride horses? Well, that says it. We're doing what? We're not only riding horses, they're white horses. Now, verse 15, watch this. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses who sit on them, with the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and strong. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse against them. Now Jesus comes, and look at the 21st verse. And the rest were killed with what? The sword which what? Proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Jesus comes armed with what? The word of God in his mouth, and defeats every army by the words coming out of his mouth. Why would we think for a minute that the word of God is not powerful in our mouth? You see what's going on there? Jesus is coming. Hey, we're riding along on the white horses. We're just enjoying. Nobody in this army, us with fine linen, clean and white, picks up a physical sword and fights a single soldier. What wins? The word of God out of Jesus' mouth has enough power in it to defeat every army that's coming against it. I laugh sometimes when I hear about on the news today and say, what must we do to defeat ISIS? And what do we have to do this? And we've got to do this. You can't fight spiritual things in the flesh. And how many of you know there is demonic spirits, satanic behind all that? I can't help but wonder if the Christians that were taken by ISIS, they threatened to have spoken what would have happened. I mean, the news media would certainly have freaked out. But I believe from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, inside and out, if they stood up and spoke the word of God to them, they would win, never having to lift us, never having to take a rifle. Do they know the word of God is powerful? What is one of the signs that a person will question if the word of God is powerful? They won't say it. My wife, nothing happens.
Oops.
Where does that come from? Enemy. And you listen to him rather than the word. Well, how do you know I listened to him? You didn't speak the word. Can you see this? If Jesus comes back armed with the word of God in his mouth, and it says in there, the valley of Megiddo is going to have 6 feet of blood. The whole 30 miles, 8 miles across, 6 feet of the blood of those armies and those soldiers flowing in that Megiddo. With the word of God spoken. How can we doubt? How can we question for a moment when we speak the word of God to a situation, to a circumstance, that it doesn't have to obey? How is that even possible with the word of God right in our lap showing us? Look at Jesus' ministry. They're going to take him, 300 to 600 soldiers, so that you know you cannot take me if I don't want you to take me. I am he. 600 fall down. And they lost their swords. So when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Come on. Which is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk. What do you think was going on with Jesus when he yelled at the tomb of Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. The word of God is living and powerful. And the power of the word of God, so living, put life in him. Listen. Listen. Can you see where God wants us to be, where the Holy Spirit wants us to be, versus where we are? Let's go with him. Anybody up for that? Let's go with the Holy Spirit where he really wants to take us. Amen. I am not leaving Florida, coming up here, doing all what we've done for business as usual. And I go over with the Lord all the time. Lord, you know, not business as usual. I'm not interested in playing church, and you aren't either. Are you? You wouldn't be here. Amen. Have we not played church long enough as a body? Taking up all the time and energy being mad at one another, unforgiveness, separation, division, exclusive, all that waste when he's given us the word of God, which is powerful. Amen. Now, how in the world could we question that in the light of the scripture and what Jesus, not only in this passage, but Jesus' whole ministry, and then the book of Acts? Some people say, we need to get back to the way it was in the early church. Okay. Let's do it then. But that isn't what they really mean. You know, in the early church, that group of believers, no one said they had any possessions of their own. It didn't mean that they gave them all. We're not talking socialism here. All socialism is a counterfeit of the book of Acts, because it's designed to take away your free will. Everything they did of a free will. No one had a need among them, and no one said their possessions were their own. The key is what? The saying. What does that mean? Lord, you have checking privileges. There are people that want God to meet all their need and so forth and so on. And Christians, believers, who want to have that, but they won't give the Lord checking privileges in their account. And praise God, none of you guys. But when they start coming in, we need to change them. Amen? What happens with the church is, you get a church that is not doing business as usual, they begin to grow, and people start coming in, they change it. No compromise. Amen. We're the light. We carry the truth. Amen? Say, I am the light. The glory of God is upon me. I arise and shine all the time. Now, let me give you something I believe will help in this whole area. Okay? Go over to, back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And let's talk about the two-edged sword. And this reference to the sword is all over the New Testament especially. So when we look at that verse of Scripture that says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, very interesting when you look up the Greek word for the two-edged sword. Thayer says this, having a double mouth as a river. This is one of the funniest Greek words there is, as far as I can tell. Okay? Because it literally means two mouths. Having two mouths. Thayer's first definition, having a double mouth as a river. Now, you picture a river, the mouth of the river is not the source. It's what comes out. Right? So the Mississippi River, the mouth of the Mississippi River is where? The Gulf of Mexico. In the Gulf, right? That's where it's emptied out. Okay? Now you have other rivers that connect with rivers. And then there, the mouth of that river, we call them tributaries, to like the Mississippi River. So where does the Ohio River empty out at? Into the Mississippi, that's the mouth. So here it says that word for two-edged is having two mouths. Okay? Now, that means if the Word of God is going to be powerful, it must be spoken twice. But where do we want the Word to be powerful? In the earth. Amen? We want the Word of God to work powerfully in our families, in our finances, in our bodies. Anybody want that? Amen. Now, first, you are dealing with a situation, a circumstance that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Anybody ever have any of those? Oh, yeah. There's probably a couple right now. I then pray. What does that mean? I'm communicating with the Lord. I'm going over this with Him. First thing. Some may call it getting wisdom. Like in James chapter 1. You fall into various trials. Ask for wisdom and God gives it to you liberally and without reproach. Amen? So, I'm getting with the Lord. Now, here's what's going to happen. It's happened to me. I got an entire book, about three quarters full. I've written this specific thing. The Holy Spirit is going to give you, most of the time, a scripture or paraphrased type. A reference to it. 90% of the time, that is what you're going to receive. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And He's going to give you a scripture that pertains to the situation you're dealing with. Now, most of the time, any adverse situation that we face and involves the devil somehow. The enemy will attempt to come in to block you, hinder you, stop you from doing the will of God. How much? All the time. That's the main attack. Most Christians, unfortunately, because they get over into the works and they get out from under the grace and they're into the works, just allow the curse to work in their life. All on its own. Cursed is anyone who does not do all the law. But we were redeemed from what? We're redeemed from what? The curse of the law. That's the reason people are confused sometimes when you say, well, you're blessed under the new covenant. There is no curse side. Like there is under the works of the law. That's another whole thing. Only blessing in the new covenant. No curse. In other words, I have the whole harvest. I reap where I haven't sown. I call Jesus sometimes the big seed. He was the big seed. We're all the harvest, the fruit. Amen? We didn't do anything to be the harvest. We didn't even sow the seed. Amen? Therefore, and one of the biggest things that Jesus did is that we can freely receive, hear what we need to hear from the Lord for any wisdom that we need in any situation. Now, most of the time, you're going to get a scripture. You're going to get a reference to a passage. You're going to get some direction in the area of a particular passage or wisdom from the Word of God that directly applies to your situation. Why? Because you want to resolve that. Amen? I want it to change. I want it to turn around. Now, once you get that, okay, once you receive that, you then begin to go over it, meditate on it, think about it, gain understanding in it. What are you saying? What is this verse saying? Going over that and over that until you reach a point, okay, until you reach the point where, and this is how I wrote it, you can't contain it any longer. You must declare it. You want to say it. Release it out of your mouth. Now, there's much of the body of Christ needs to learn this, who hasn't learned this, but we're learning this. And you say, well, I've never had that happen to me. Then you need to take heed to what's being taught this morning and put this into what? Practice. This is the place where we want to get. This is what we call a rhema word. Logos is the written. Rhema is a specific word for a specific time, for a specific situation for me. And that word is powerful. And that word is living. And I have a book, got a little label on the front, just for me writing down rhema words. Put the date in there. I write that out, the verse of scripture, and what it is saying to me. Now, what happens in the body of Christ? I'm for the teaching. I'm for the fivefold ministry. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The books and the CDs. But we substitute that for what I'm talking about. We go to those for the wisdom. We go to those to try to figure out what to do. We go to those. Well, so-and-so did this, and he taught this, and this worked for him, therefore it should work for me. I want to tell you, there's more times it didn't work for them because it worked for somebody else. Because every victory we walk in comes from the inside out. Amen. And as a consequence, we have substituted all this other for that time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to receive from the Holy Spirit what He knows we personally. Can't you see how great this is? The God of the universes, however many there are, at the riches of His grace, He said, I'm going to work with you personally. Can you see what religion does? It makes you go through other people. When I was growing up Catholic, for example, the question was, well, why do you, I used to ask them, after we were born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were still in the Catholic Charismatic movement at the time, say, how come you pray to Mary? You know what their answer was most of the time? I'm not worthy enough to go to God. I need Mary. Basically, they were saying to intercede for me. I said, you already have Jesus. You don't need Mary. Can you see? That's why they pray to the statues. What? Unworthiness. But God said, I want to have a good time with you. Holy Spirit leading each one of us. Now you receive that. There's some mornings I'll be there and the Holy Spirit will say, I want you to start saying this. And I have them written down. About 1996 or so, I think. He said, I want you to start saying that I'm the disciple who you love. I did. And I do. Thank you, Lord. I'm the disciple that you love. Does he love any others? Jump in. Plenty to go around. Another time he said, I want you to say that you're pleasing in my sight. I went to him that morning. I wasn't feeling too pleasing in his sight. I'm like, what a mess. And he stopped me. And he said, I want you to say right now, you're pleasing in my sight. And don't change that. Amen. You take that verse, you take that, you take what he gives you, you go over that until you get to the point where I gotta tell somebody. Every now and then I'll get a call from George. Here's the first thing that comes out of his mouth. If you got some time a little later, I just have to. I just got to come over and tell you what I got. Come on. I get my notebook out. I'm ready. Amen. When we're in a group, see, the Word of God says, do not forsake yourself, the coming together among yourself, but exhort one another, encourage one another. When we come into a group, you know what's the music to your ear? This used to be music to my ear whenever I was in the meeting and the pastor, I would say, has anybody got anything they want to share? Wham! Yes, I do. Couldn't wait. Busting. Amen. Many times I have to tell you, and I'm not pointing in any one direction, but I'm stunned by the silence. Amen. Oh, me. Wow. When you do, powerful words come forth like a mighty sword, driving back the forces of hell that have come against you. When I went to the Lord early 2000, I said, Lord, why is the church such a mess? And why does the enemy get away with so much? And he spoke to me and he said, because the enemy has a systematic attack that he does all the time. And my body is separated. It's apart. And has not sought me for the strategy of how to use the weapons I have given. On the one hand, we recognize we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we do. We battle in flesh and blood. We get angry with, we get unforgiveness, we get resentment, we get this, we get mad at people. We this and that, how can they do this, blah, 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 blah. When it's not against flesh and blood. And as a consequence, we don't take the time to go in and say, Lord, here's the situation. Would you sharpen my sword? And I submit to you this morning. It's because I think and I have observed that the body of Christ as a whole does not yet know the word of God is powerful. Let me ask you this. If we believe that, like we believe the weather report, do you know how many people tell me it's going to rain when it ain't raining? Why? I heard it on the weather. I see people walking around with umbrellas. It's not raining. Why are they walking around with an umbrella? It's going to rain. You know what? They believe it. Well, how do you know they believe it? They're walking around with an umbrella. How many times have you thought, listen to weather report, and they're wrong 70% of the time, by the way. We still act like they're right 100%. We have the word of God, which is 100% right all the time. And yet we're still not willing to take the umbrella with us. The greatest example of this and the power in Jesus' ministry, Luke chapter 4, when he faced the devil. He said what? It is written. It is written. It is written. Now, he didn't just come up with these. The Holy Spirit gave it to him to answer each one of those accusations or whatever. The next verse says, you know what the next verse said? And Jesus came back in the power of the Spirit. Lord, I want to come back in the power of the Spirit. Amen. You see, it's a double-edged sword, which makes it powerful. Two mouth. God speaks it, then we speak it, and it does the job. Yes, sir.
You mentioned earlier, the word was spoken twice. What do you mean by that?
God speaks it first. That's when you get it from the Holy Spirit. Then we speak it. Remember Jesus said this, I only say what I hear. Now, can you see and make the decision this morning? I'm going to practice this. Okay? Now, we call it practice for a reason. Okay? I mean, I play golf some, whatever, and I had to practice. How many of you know that when you're practicing, you don't always hit it exactly where you want to? No. The more you practice, the better you get. One of the reasons we have the body of Christ and we're joined and fitly joined, you know, I'm practicing. I have an inquiry. Doesn't seem to be working. Okay, well, let's take a look at that and see if we can't practice a little better. This is what golf coaches do. They watch better players than themselves, by the way, and they watch them. And then they offer a little correction, you know, instead of taking the club back inside, take it more straight back. Holy Spirit is like a golf coach. See? He wants us to hit it 300 down the middle. Amen? Because if we don't speak it, the revelation, the scripture, the word that has been spoken to you lies dormant and no power manifests. Great shall be the peace of my children, and they will be taught by the Lord. This is a scripture that years ago Priscilla and I got. Amen? And many times it's just that. Do you believe that you could just speak the word and rest and let it work? Well, aren't you doing something? No, I'm letting the word of God be powerful right now. Well, you know, I was speaking the word over my finances, and I was declaring money comes to me frequently and easily in the name of Jesus. But I went and asked my boss if I could work 20 hours overtime. Oops. He left the umbrella home, or the bucket. Can you see how that doesn't get it? What does that mean? That the Word of God is powerful, plus I'm going to work myself into exhaustion. I see a lot of churches. We ask God for the finance. We believe in the name of Jesus that God supplies need of every need according to His riches and power, glory, and so forth and so on. And we're going, but, and also, would you sign the sheet back there for the car wash so we can raise some money? They believe the Word of God is powerful? Do you really believe that you can just speak the Word of God over your body and it made whole? You understand, I've got to take vitamin A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, the whole alphabet. And I'm not putting down supplements and so forth and so on. However, that's not the source of the power for your healing. But more people will religiously take the whole alphabet and vitamins every single day and let dust gather on their Bible. Tell me, what do they believe is powerful? Yeah, the vitamins. What does it really come down to in the end? What do you believe? Lord, what do I believe? I've gone to the Lord. I need your wisdom, Lord. What do I really believe here? It must be spoken twice. I'm going to do this. Over in the last 35 years, I can count on this hand how many times people actually spoke outside of the church building. And I'm not talking about in our numbers, but just running into Christians here and there. This hand, I can't count 5 times anybody actually ever spoke the word to me. Can you? You're out at the supermarket. I'm not talking about we're related one to another and we're comfortable with that. I'm talking about you run into a non-baptized in the Holy Spirit, born-again Baptist. Those kind. A Catholic who's born again. They speak the word less than anybody. Or no, then. Why? Less word. You see what I'm saying? Are you willing to speak the word right in the face of the enemy? Well, I'm not seeing the devil right there, but you're hearing the words of the devil through someone. You know the words you can't are from the enemy. You know, this is what I'm going to go do. You can't do that. What's my answer? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you need some of that right now yourself. Amen. Are you on board? That's the fourth thing in the Elite 318 list. What does it say on the fourth thing? Share the wisdom that you received. That's huge. Why? Because the rest of us can jump on in with you. Now, why does it have to be, and all of this, get this, what I'm telling you right now, please, 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 please. Why does it have to be said twice by God and then by us in order for a manifestation of his power to occur? Because God needs for somebody to be fully agreeable with him. What does the word say? Where two agree, it's what? Done. Fully agreeable. Fully agreeable with him. So when it says without faith it's impossible to please him, we can say it this way: without faith it's impossible to fully agree or be fully agreeable with him. You know when my children pleased me the most growing up? When they were fully agreeable with me. Why? Because I knew I was telling them what? The best for them. Amen? Have I got any disciples here? You getting yourself to the practice part? Huh? I don't believe that the Lord ever made it so any of us had to tough it through alone on anything. I do not believe it, and I do believe that any person who attempts to do alone has no chance. That's why God made the body of Christ the way he did. That's why he fitly joins. That's why. Amen. Now, how many this morning, right now, you have something you would like to hear from the Holy Spirit, the Word of God concerning it? Okay? Let's receive the offering. We'll pray over that offering. And at the same time, we're going to go to the Lord on this issue of yours. And then you write down, all right, whenever I meet with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you meet with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. It's a major meeting. I always have with me a Bible. I have a prayer journal. I have the book that I write down what he tells me. And I have my planner with the calendar. I said, why do you do that? Because he told me to. He said, when you come meet with me, have your Bible and the other three. Now, could that be different for people? Certainly. I don't teach it like, this is what you need to do. But, and I didn't have that all down at the very beginning. I had my Bible with me, and I had a pad, and then eventually it said, you need to bring this over some time. One of the things I knew real quick, though, I really need to have a Bible with me. Now, let me just let you know, we're receiving the offering. And we've taught this, we understand this. Why then do you realize, why do we speak over our offering? Why is it that we're not to just throw it in there? Same principle. God speaks something. He said, I'm gonna multiply what you put in there. Oh, that's great, Lord. I'm gonna multiply. You take it and you release by faith out of your mouth what he tells you. Lord, what should we speak over this offering right now? Thank you, Lord, that this offering is multiplying right now for the building of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, shouldn't there be more? No. Just what he tells you. I don't teach this as a doctrine. But I've seen shorter prayers get answered a lot faster than them long things. I believe so. More faith in them. Okay, are you ready to hear? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you know the situation, the circumstance, that which does not line up with your word in the life of each and every one. And right now, I ask you, Holy Spirit, give to us your word, the word of God that we can use as the sword. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You might get a scripture reference. You might get an actual verse of scripture. Write it down. And you're going to go over that later. Okay, eyes closed. With eyes closed, if you've got it, raise your hand, your right hand, say left hand, right hand, both hands. If you do, raise one hand or another hand or give an indication, oh, I've got it. Now, if you haven't, then I want you to say, Lord, I expect an answer. I expect an answer. In other words, let me use the analogy. Open your umbrella. Amen. I expect an answer. See, expectation is crucial in the operation of faith. I don't expect nothing from God. Well, it's exactly what you get. Nothing. The man at the gate, beautiful, went to Peter and John as they were going in, and he expected to receive from them. Amen? Now, once you begin to practice this on a regular basis, you'll get very excited. Why? Because you're going to see a lot of the power of